This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
I would watch a tractor pull if it was live on TV. I do understand the severity of this terrible situation, and I am coping, but it's not easy. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Episode 51, as we are rolling through the NHL season, which on March 21st, as we're recording this, is currently suspended. Yes, we will survive. We made it four more days of quarantine since we last talked. A lot of self-distancing. I feel better about things, I think. I know it's going to be a long haul. It's been 2 full weeks since the Flames last played a game. I reminded myself early this morning of that. It seems like a year ago. I'm having some hockey withdrawals. It's hard. You know, it's hard not having hockey. It's hard not having sports as a whole. I have a hard time finding things to keep my TV time. I still have a wife and some kids that are amazing and I love spending time with. And I've done quite a bit of that with them lately as things have kind of been on a little bit of a lockdown. I watched a show on Amazon Prime the other night about the Allen Cup. That was an interesting show, and I enjoyed watching that. I watched some old concerts on YouTube, some old bands that I used to go to a lot of concerts of, and I've spent some time doing that. And today went on a nice walk with the kids and my wife. It's beautiful outside. A lot of snow still on the ground, but it's melting quick as temperatures rise, and spring is just right around the corner, and I've been a lot more positive. I've been positive the last couple days as we navigate mentally through this coronavirus, which is, it's a scary deal. It's a scary, scary deal. And I do know we will get through it. And when we get through this, I'm going to appreciate things so much more. Appreciate the freedom of being able to go out and do things and not having a fear of catching a disease. This is going to change the world. It's going to make each and every one of us stronger. And once we get through it, I think we'll see good things. I think we'll see good changes. And it's scary. We hope everybody stays healthy, happy as much as you can, as stress-free as you can financially. But you know what? Let's take a step away from that now. And let's escape from reality. And let's talk some hockey. Today's episode, we are going to update a little bit on the coronavirus and how it affects the National Hockey League. And then we're going to take some time, and we're going to talk hockey with one of my favorite guys to talk hockey with. That's John Boughton from the Oil Country Podcast. Yes, he's an Oilers fan, but that's why we love having him on the show so much. It's Oilers, Flames, NHL, life talks. And John's a great guy, and always fun, and he'll join the show later on. We'll also roll into some Flames news and talk about some signings of two young defensemen. And then we'll wrap up with an altered version of Fan Question. And I always love the Fan Question segment. And this week's a little bit different, but should be really good. We hope you enjoy the show. And let's remember what really is important in life.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be a part of, has a great podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how it affects your favorite team. Standings, trades, signings, it's all on Ice Analytics on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans. You know, as much as we try to escape coronavirus talk, we're just going to do a little bit of it today. Not that much. A little bit of an update on how it affects the NHL. Not a ton to discuss since we last talked. on Wednesday. We recorded last for a Thursday drop on the Hockey Podcast Network. We do know it's going to be a long haul. This isn't something that's going away quickly. We're being diligent both in Canada and the U.S. to flatten the curve. And, yeah, that's where we're at. Hockey news and how it relates to coronavirus. The IIHF World Championship is officially canceled now, which is not good news, but joins pretty much everything else in the sporting world that is canceled at this point. A second Ottawa Senators player has tested positive for the coronavirus. That is sad news. We wish each and every person out there, not just hockey players or basketball players, but each and every person diagnosed with that is dealing with this, not just on the mental side, but on the physical side, we're all praying for you. Club owners will have a conference call on Monday, which is when this podcast drops, and they're going to discuss financial issues, potential escrow included. Expected to, you know, talk about how this is affecting each team individually and go over some of the hurdles and some of the transitions as we transition back to hockey, hopefully in the near future. It is scary times in this world. We wish each and every one of you healthy and, you know, as much as being sequestered or, you know, not being able to go into social situations is difficult and not having live sports is difficult. The alternatives, if it means me staying home, well, I'm definitely willing to pay the price for health and happiness.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now is our buddies from Oil Country Podcast. John Boughton joins me. John, good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward. It's been a while since we've chatted, obviously, with the string of Battle of Alberta's all log jammed into one. It's been a little while. So
I was planning on talking to you here a lot here in the next coming weeks, but I don't know.
Well, with playoffs are kind of approaching at that time, it was
a game coming up here in a week and a half, and then the playoffs coming, and all that's been scrapped for just a very serious situation and one that I don't know, it's somewhat shocking and scary. I guess there's no other way to describe it, but we can maybe touch on that just a little bit about the effects of that in Alberta and in Edmonton especially, and then we'll get out of that and give people an escape from that.
Yes, it sounds good to me. I think that one of the things I got to say here too, Brad, like the wild thing to me is just how quickly it all happened. Like we've known about this for months as a potential issue. Mm-hmm. And it went from, you know, hey, this might be something we're worried about, but there was never even really large media or anything saying like, oh, what if this impacts the playoffs or what if this cancels the season or suspends the season? The biggest talk was maybe some arenas will have to play with no fans.
So when did you take it serious? Like personally, when did you...
Like, are we talking NHL-wise or just like me personally?
Either. Both, actually.
I mean, honestly, NHL-wise, I, like, maybe a day or two before, when they started coming out with certain areas.
Yeah.
You know what, playing with no fans, that's when I was like, but I even then, like, I think until the NBA season suspended, it wasn't as worrisome. And I'd even say similarly with my personal life. I mean, you had heard it when it was an issue in China.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things was, and as we've learned more about this, is with how many people are asymptomatic or not showing obvious symptoms, or just assuming they have the flu, that we weren't mass testing in North America up until recently, like at all, right? So it was easy to just be like, oh, that's not going to be a problem. So once that started happening and you started hearing of like celebrities and athletes getting it and, you know, restrictions started coming down, I mean, Alberta's been in a state of emergency, I think, and since last Tuesday. So like 5 or 6 days now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obvious. I mean, yeah, it's getting very serious. It's worrisome. It's scary straight up.
It's, I made a comment about a week and a half before like the NBA thing on another podcast and said to one of the hosts on the show, I said, well, you know, this could interrupt the season. And when I said it, was kind of like thinking to myself, I doubt it, but it could, you know.
Right.
And he kind of laughed me off, and then it Cruz did.
Laughing now.
Well, but you know what's so funny about it is even like the Wednesday night when the NBA, I thought like the Tuesday, like when we heard that Columbus was going to play to an empty arena and San Jose mm-hmm. was too, I thought, oh, this will be okay. We're just going to have some games for a while without some fans. This will all pass. You know, we always minimize things in the world just because I know anything that comes up that's scary, I think our society tries to minimize it to reduce fears because none of us want to be scared or admit we're scared. So you
don't want to incite like wide panic either. Right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Everybody freaks out that we saw that with toilet paper like early on, right? When there was no issue of people running out and that was what people panicked about before we even had, you know, close to as much information as we have now.
Yeah. But when the NBA announced, then I knew it was done. Like, I knew we were done.
Yeah. And I remember talking with my roommate that night because we obviously had the Oilers game and that came out the intermission. And it was like, I just don't see how the NHL continues through this.
I was really,
it's too risky.
I was really selfish that first night, though, because I kept saying, oh, this is a bunch of crap. Like, I disagree. I think we're jumping the gun. I mean, it was my selfishness because I don't want to live without sports. But then reality set in late Wednesday night and I was like, yeah, this is probably bigger than sports and bigger than everything else in our lives. So,
and you mentioning it about kind of, can't remember the word you used, but more or less like diminishing it or how bad it is or how bad it's going to be. I think there's a lot of, you know, reasons and like a little bit of validity to why we did that. Obviously, looking back, it's a hindsight, it's 2020 situation. We know how bad it is and what it's projecting to be potentially. But, you know, you looked at how many cases were in China and then Italy is obviously the one getting hit very hard now. But it's easy in North America and especially Canada to look and say, well, maybe it's not that infectious because look at how many people they have there and look at how concentrated they are where, you know, even in the States is much more spread out and then Canada even more so. So there was a lot of kind of reasons to rationalize that and say, oh, you know, it's not going to be as bad here. Like that's just, it happened directly in China. They've got so much travel and so many people and all that.
Well, one of the things we also do too in America and in Canada is we think we're cleaner than they are. We think we're better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We think we live a healthier lifestyle than they do. We think all these things. And so we think, well, that can't happen to us because we don't have markets on the streets with dead animals. We try to find reasons. And you know what? There's probably truth to that. And there's truth to what you just said in the amount of mass people in one area. But that doesn't mean we can't or shouldn't take it serious. I don't know.
For sure.
I think both the American and Canadian governments have done about everything they should, I guess. I don't know what more we can.
I don't want to talk about your American governments too much. I'm just like uneducated in it for the most part, but so I don't want to be like biased in that sense, but
that would be a whole other topic.
I'll say this. It's an extremely difficult time. Like I consider myself with the ability to lead and be in leadership positions. There is no way in hell that I would want to be running a country at this time.
You're in a no-win situation.
I can't even fathom that.
You're in a no-win situation.
For sure.
No matter what you choose, it's not going to, people are not going to, half the people are not going to agree with you.
And at the end of the day, you're going to make mistakes, right? Like this is like
we've never done this.
No-win situation. Like, yeah,
our grandparents have really, done this.
Yeah, it's really an unprecedented situation, and with a ton of factors. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to touch on the state's politics, honestly, because I don't touch that with like a 10-foot pole.
Well, let's shift gears and let's talk about hockey and how it relates and how it relates to this. I'll be straight up. Do you think we're going to finish the regular season, and do you think we will have a playoffs this year?
You know, Kyle and I talked about that on our episode a little bit, and I'll preface this with saying as a fan, I really wish they would prioritize finishing this year over playing a full season next year.
Really?
But I understand why they're not going to do that. And I'll also admit that the bias is probably there as an Oilers fan.
Because you guys are going to make it.
Seasons of us going to make it. So exactly, like I'm pissed about that. Obviously, I'm not blaming the NHL for suspending. I know it was the right decision. But I'm, you know, selfishly pissed about that. I will say it's very hard to say for one, but no, I don't think. I think this season's going to get canceled, unfortunately.
I
think this is going to go too long.
I think there's a 5%, less than 5% chance we see regular season or postseason this year. I think it's going to all get scrapped. There's a glimmer of hope. I think they do want to finish it. I don't think they're minimizing it and just pushing this to the side. I do think the NHL really does want to finish it. I just look at the timetables and I'm just like, I just don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do this.
Realistically, like, do you think, let's just say you scrap the regular season.
Okay.
And whatever any of those theories going around, whether you play wild card play-ins,
best
of three series, whatever.
I came up with a format that they can do it in 40 days now. I'm not saying it's flawless, but it's a system that would work.
And is that just, that's playoffs with
just
like
playoffs.
A wild card system played in or whatever?
Yep.
So
yep.
Let's just say they do that. So you're starting
June 1st minimum. If everything
I was going to say with how much they want to, I think you could do July. So that puts you, let's just say they fast track it, whether they
can't
do best of three series or whatever.
You want to know a factor
say,
that
let's
comes
say they
in
can
though?
Award the cup by August 10th.
Okay, but here's the problem. If the Olympics go, the Olympics are on NBC in the States. You can't forget that.
I want to though. That's
and
like bullshit in
the,
my opinion.
And that TV deal supersedes anything else. And if they can't televise them, which they wouldn't, because NBC will have every single channel be the Olympics. They have like six NBC channels in the States, and all of them will be Olympic coverage nonstop,
for sure.
24 hours
just
a day.
Just like CBC is in Canada all the time.
So there's no way the NHL is nudging in on that, and there's no way they can change it to put it on ESPN or something like that. It's not there's a contract. They can't do that.
I absolutely hate that you're completely right. I didn't even think about that.
So this has to be done by the 24th of June, or July, excuse me, of July. 24th of July, it has to be done.
So let's say, just to give us a little bit more leeway, let's say June 15th, we'll meet in the middle there. If you do a condensed version and you're done, you award the Stanley Cup, Game 7 or Game 5 at the latest, the day before the Olympic opening ceremony.
Okay.
So you fast-track the living shit out of that.
I don't know.
Like, I still think there's no way that happens.
That doesn't happen
because
there's arena
the
availability.
Like
there's so many factors that play into this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many factors. And I don't believe, and I don't know how you feel on this, is I don't think you can play the Stanley Cup final without it having seven games.
I agree with you there. I think you could go right up to conference finals with best of fives.
Yep.
Like, I'd be fine in a similar baseball setting where
I even had
like,
best of three in the divisional finals.
Me too.
You had to,
I'd be fine with divisional quarter and semi. Like,
you have to.
Or, sorry, divisional conference quarter.
And the wild card, I had a one-game play-in type thing because you just have to. I mean, otherwise you're not going to get it done in 40 days. And I looked at it as right now with what the CDC and Canada Health is saying, that June 1st is probably the first time, if everything goes great, that we're going to see any professional sport. Well,
and you're still seeing a lot of movement. I mean, like I'm currently working still in Northern Alberta.
I'm currently working in North Dakota. Is there any way? Can we now? I know I pissed you off with the Olympics thing, but
well, you didn't piss. I mean, the information pissed me off. It was very valid information.
The Olympics. What is the Olympics? Go 2 weeks.
I think like two and a half, including like 2.5, including ceremonies.
So probably August 15th.
Would it be done
by August 15th. Do you think there's any hope that they would come back and play an August September playoffs?
So I think it would be feasible from my uneducated, not on the inside mind. I think it would be feasible. And this is what my hope was right from the get-go. Like, when Kyle and I were talking, when this news all broke, I was of the mindset, and again, this is weighing, I think it's from a fan perspective, can't make that clear enough. I think it's more important to award a Stanley Cup than to play even close to a full season next year. And I know money-wise, it'll never happen because the owners won't give that up. And neither will the players, honestly, because they need the cap to go
up. They need the cap to go. Yeah,
it's just escrow, all that stuff factors in there. And it's, I understand why it won't, but from a fan perspective, and if the NHL said our number one priority is to award a Stanley Cup this year, I think you could do it. I think you could start the playoffs in middle of October, wrap up by the end of November. So here's the tough part. And this is, I think,
and then what, take 2 weeks off? Discussion.
So, well,
and I then have free agency, and having a month off in December would be hard, right?
Yeah, it would be.
But it'd be better but than...
I think, and again, that's if the NHL said giving the Stanley Cup this year is our number one priority.
Sure, I understand.
So let's say halfway, you award the Stanley Cup November 20th.
Okay.
You condense the shit out of it. You have a couple day break. Now the draft complicates things.
Scrap the draft.
So you just push all those prospects to next season?
Yeah. Let I know that's. All... I know I'm thinking way outside the box there, and I just I blurted that out. But did I, and I might be, maybe had this in a dream because I've been dreaming about sports because we don't have sports, but did I not hear that Major League Baseball was scrapping the draft?
Ooh, I honestly have no idea.
God, I might have dreamed that. I probably shouldn't even
have Major League Baseball also drafts like out of high school. Do they
and they draft like 20 rounds too. Which I mean, but like
high school baseball is obviously different than high school hockey.
I don't know. I could be wrong on that, but I swear somebody was scrapping their draft for a year.
So, I mean, you could in the sense, I'm trying to think.
Could you not do that, though?
What would be the major issues, and I'm just spitballing here, of doing that? Because typically, 99% of players play with their teams. And
you'd piss off 15 players. That's it.
And you'd probably piss off prospects in the sense,
15
like,
prospects.
Say a prospect had, well, but even more, like say a prospect had rose from third round grade to early second round grade.
Yeah, but he might raise to first round next year.
For sure, but then you've also running the risk of what if that kid tears his ACL at the start of the season?
I know.
Now he's getting drafted in the fifth, and it's like.
So what's more important, though, the Stanley
it.
Cup?
It's not like the NFL where you're getting money. No, for sure it's the Stanley
Cup. Or some B-rank prospect tearing his ACL.
Screw those kids, Brad. Screw those kids. I don't care.
I'm not trying to be mean, but somebody's going to pay the price for this. You know who's really going to pay the price for this? Let me throw out a question to you here.
Everybody, but okay.
We all are. This is going to change all of our lives. I think, you know what? I do think, though, on a bright note, I do think that when we get through this, and we will get through this, but when we get through this,
agreed,
we are going to be so much stronger in so many aspects, it's not even funny.
I think there's a lot of silver linings, and I think that's the important thing, and I've even personally tried to do that, especially social media wise. Like, obviously,
I do.
You know, podcasting wise, Twitter is the thing, right? And as far as hockey news and trying to build your platform as far as social media. And I've had to take so many breaks the last week of just like, I'm not going on Twitter for 48 hours.
I can't look at this.
It was damaging my mental health. Like, yeah, I was getting overwhelmed and it was like, I need a break. So
here's my crazy question.
Sorry.
Do any teams fold?
You're talking about NHL teams folding?
Yeah.
No. My gut says no. But why do you ask?
Like, well, my gut says no too.
So who are the let's
okay.
I want to know why you bring that up, but who, let's say three or four teams. Who are the candidates? Arizona?
For sure Arizona. For sure Florida.
Florida, yeah. Like I would say even Tampa, but they're too good right now. There's no, like, and they're making enough money. Yeah. I assume, even though they don't have the attendance that a lot of the rest.
I would say those two are probably the two that I would think of. Now I know you want me to say Ottawa, But I don't.
No, there's no way.
But I don't think Ottawa would.
I think even if it was something where Ottawa was holding, but think about it would be a situation where like the league steps in and buys them.
Now I'm going to, well, we're going to throw this out here. So this is total worst case scenario. Let's say this takes through September to get under control. I know that sounds far-fetched, and I don't believe that'll take that long, but it could. Well, and no but we don't know.
Like, very well,
we don't know.
We could lose, at the end of the day, no one knows. We could lose all of next season, too, for all we know.
Like, for all we know.
I'm not even wanting to speak that into existence. But.
So let's say we lose half of next season.
Yeah, so you're starting
Florida
in December, January.
These players, from all I've been told, are going to continue to get paid, even if they don't go into next year. So
and Friedman also had said that the insurance for the NHL wasn't covering as much as the owners had hoped on the last 31.
So you think Florida's management didn't even balk at it 3 months ago, saying they had to cut $10 million in salaries amongst their staff? You know there's going to be staff layoffs in the next 2 weeks in the National Hockey League. I can guarantee that. There's going to be staff layoffs. And we got owners that are getting crucified because they're not paying the guy selling the beer. I'm sorry. I'm worried about the beer salesman too, but I'm more worried about Betsy in the office selling tickets than I am the beer salesman. And I'm not trying to be insensitive.
No, I know, but I just have to, for sake of transparency, I was one of the ones that jumped on the opportunity to crucify your owners.
Well, I think my owner, I think my owner was just speaking the truth. Like, what's the realism on this?
I think it was...
And here's one of the points I brought up in defense of them. So, and I'm not saying that it's not, I'm not trying to be insensitive that I don't want people getting taken care of, because I do. But here's the deal. I guarantee you that if an ownership group said, all right, here's $6 million, we're going to take care of all the staff, right?
Whatever they were scheduled to make over the rest of the season.
Second of all, you don't hear NFL teams getting crucified for it too, just because they're not in season. Their guys aren't going to get paid either. They're beer guys.
Yeah, but I think... But well, here's the thing, and I'll admit, sorry to cut you off. I don't know anything about labor law in the States, but from my understanding, like the salaried staff were not in fear for any of the teams because they're more or less legally obligated to pay them. It was the part timers where how many part timers is an NFL team going to have in the off season? Like maybe some, but not
in the States right now. We have salaried staff in the oil wells and all over the place. They're getting laid off left and right. They're just getting laid off.
For sure, yeah.
And that's going to happen to the front office staff at the Florida Panthers. And I'm just using them as an example. But
for sure.
And here's what's going to happen, though. I mean, like, so now the ownership's got to write Bobrovsky at $10 million, got to write all these guys all these checks next year, right? And they have no income coming in. And they're hemorrhaging money to start. Same with Arizona. They're hemorrhaging money every single year. They say they're not. They are. If you can go look it up, they're hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
And everybody says, well, they're billionaires. Well, yeah, but pretty soon they're not going to be billionaires when you got $80 million going out next year. Right?
So
how long before they say, well, screw this, I'm out?
Agreed. And you have obviously the owners have rights and as far as, I mean, they run the league, but I think there's some are worse than others. I think obviously, right? Because you look in the sense of, I mean, let's look at Edmonton, for example. Cates is far, I mean, I'm sure he's not close to the richest owner in the NHL, but he's also, I'm sure he's in the middle of the pack or top 10.
I think he's in the middle.
Close around there.
Yeah.
So if the Oilers had said that they weren't going to pay part-time staff, me as a resident of Edmonton, our taxes just put $250 million. Same thing in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Towards that new arena that, yeah, the city's going to get some money back on, but that's not guaranteed.
Lots of money back. City's going to get a ton of money back.
I was reading also that it's not...
Hotels, everything for events. Oh, my God.
I'm talking about just the building itself. And I agree because especially look in Edmonton, our downtown sucked before that arena district came up.
Yeah, but now so look at the concerts there, you get.
There's also citizen money going towards that. And I'm not saying that the city's not benefiting, but I think it's, if it's feasible, I think it's kind of an obligation when you're that wealthy and employing that many people when you've had that commitment. So I'm not saying if this goes into next year, I'm not saying pay all the part-time kids what they normally would have been paid. Like that's unreasonable.
Well, so let me ask you this question.
What do we have, a month left in the season?
Yeah. Month and a half.
Pay the kids for the month.
Sure.
Don't factor in playoffs. And I think that's more than reasonable.
Okay. Let me ask you this. And I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. I don't.
And if an owner can't afford it, they've got to figure something out there with the league or the other owners or something there.
What happens next year? So all the fans are saying, pay them. And I'm not disagreeing with that. But what happens next year when they go and they want to sign their big left winger and they say, sorry, paid the popcorn guy, don't have any money left, can't afford the player. Then the fans are going to be like, what in the hell?
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
I don't think that happens for the vast, vast majority of
people. I hope not.
I don't think anyone folds either, honestly.
You don't, huh?
I mean, if anybody could, I think.
I'd be shocked. I would be shocked if a team folded. I would be absolutely shocked. But I'm not ruling it out.
I think this would, well.
Because here's the problem.
And here's the tough thing is the question is, if this goes all the way through next year, do you think owners start negotiating to not play players full wage?
Absolutely.
I think they do too.
Negotiating? I just think they get together and say, we're not playing. We're not paying. We're just not paying.
Yeah, which would be a whole nother deal because, well, I mean, the PA and the...
Because there's no clauses in their... I would highly doubt there's clauses in their contract for pandemics when they're not playing.
No, but I think it would be approached similar to a lockout where I think a lot of the players with lockout-proof contracts would be arguing that, like, I signed this deal in case we locked out, even
we're
though
not
we're not
out.
Locking out. Yeah, I think that would be a dicey. I think that would get messy.
Oh, yeah.
That would you would get a lot of players that are going to be very pissed off.
But here's the deal, though. The owners hold the cards.
They do. At the end of the day, that's where the money comes from. I mean, that's where the money
and I don't
from
want,
the fans goes
to. I'm not trying to make it sound like I don't want the players to get paid. I do. But I don't think we should pay them at the sacrifice of losing our league.
No, I mean, obviously not. I mean, at the end of the day,
are we worst case scenario in this too, by the way?
We are. And at the end of the day, the players, assuming they're good with their money, the vast majority of them, as far as NHL players that are established NHL players, guys
be
that are
fine.
Making 1.5 plus,
be fine.
They should be fine. Exactly.
They're going to be better off than me and you.
Walmart making $42,000 a year.
They're going to be better off than me and you.
For sure.
Right?
They already are.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
This could go for 10 years, and I could work every day of those 10 years, and those guys are still better off than me.
Me too.
Let's just be real here. Let's call a spade a spade. Like,
well, and I'm not trying to be, you know, insensitive to the players. And every time there's a lockout, I feel like I take an owner's side. I just do, just because I want the players to get paid, you know. But like those guys are the billionaires, right? In the yeah.
It is right because I look at it, and I always looked at it. Like in the 05 lockout.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 05, yeah.
Yeah, 04, 05.
Yeah. That sucked.
I had always looked at it, and I'll admit, like, I was a kid. So as far as, like, economics and
you didn't care.
And
you just were
any
like,
of that, like, I didn't know any of that shit. I still probably don't know much. But I'd always, like, my players are the favorite, the owners are the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
And I've definitely come more to, like, 50-50, where, like, I understand both sides. I just think, like, I understand the argument, I'm not saying you have this necessarily, but maybe you do, of, like, they're getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. Why do they need more?
No, I don't, because people are paying to go watch them.
Exactly.
So
and at the end of the day, they're the best of the best, and the best of the best at anything, especially an industry that makes that much money. They deserve their fair share.
I'll be completely honest with you. I love the CBA right now. I love the salary cap. I love everything. You know why? Because it gives Edmonton, for example, to be crappy for a while and then get into the playoffs. And this year, you guys really didn't have a lot of hopes this year, did you? I mean, initially, you were a bubble team.
Yes, exactly.
You were a bubble
Nailed
team.
Nailed it. Yeah.
But you guys are playing good. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, look at how teams can flip-flop. It helps so much keep – like, I watch baseball every year, and I'm like, this team is freaking 26 games out, and it's June 2nd. Like, how the fuck does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so bad. And I think, God, every day when I look at the NHL and go, holy crap, there's 14 teams in the Western Conference that are still in a playoff race.
And
you know,
just to hit on the baseball thing.
Or 12 that are in a playoff race.
One of my favorite sports movies is Moneyball.
Yeah.
Seen that movie? I don't know.
I might have to watch that during this.
It's on Netflix in Canada, so if you got some time off.
I'm going to have to watch that.
It's a great movie. It's pretty much talking about how they, you know, very, very Spark Notes version, but
mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt brings in a new young thinking kid that's using somebody else's theory to outsmart the other teams and pay for production. So they lose Johnny Damon and Giambi the year before, get knocked out in the playoffs, and then lose their two-star players, and then come back for a Cinderella run. And
That's a good show. I'm going to have to watch that again.
All that long ago. But that's the thing. And it's like, but then that method, the teams with all the money, like that's how Boston won their first World Series. They took that method and they're like, well, we can take your method of paying appropriately for production and not just paying for big names and look at the statistics differently, but we still have way more money than you.
Like, does it scare you to have – And don't get me wrong here now, they are probably two of the top four players in the league. But does it still not bother you a little bit when you look at Cap Friendly and see how much you got money plugged into two players?
No.
No? It doesn't, really?
And I think the thing is especially like...
So let me ask you this question. Do you think you have a better shot at winning a Stanley Cup going the pay the top five guys a ridiculous amount and then just plug in secondary guys? Or do you think the mold of not paying anybody over $8 million and building a core of a bunch of $6 million guys? I mean, what method do you think works better over time?
I mean, I think they both have their pros and cons over time. I think as far as longevity is the more balanced roster for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as trying to push your team over the top.
But what you're relying on.
This might be biased, but I think you need game breakers. Now you're putting mm-hmm. more eggs in one basket or two baskets or three baskets. But I will say too, and this is a team that's easy to rip on for pretty much every other fan
Toronto?
In the NHL, is Toronto. Like you look at the situation in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And then you look at the situation in Toronto and they have way more money committed to, albeit more quantity of players, but inferior players to what Edmonton has in their top two.
Absolutely.
And I mean, and they've got great players over there too, but they have no defense. Like they're kind of what the Edmonton model was before almost, where like, yeah, they've got a lot of young, exciting fire up front.
I like their defense now compared to a year ago. I mean,
oh, for sure. I mean, I think. Sorry, our defense or yeah, Toronto's?
No, yours.
Oh, for sure. Sorry, I thought I was even saying Toronto.
Oh, I like Toronto
the guy
better
they got
too.
From LA too.
Yeah.
Barry, and then who'd they get from LA last year? Sorry, they're like Muzzin.
Oh yeah, Jake Muzzin.
I thought Muzzin was a great acquisition. Barry, honestly, not so much. But I think our defense took a big step forward, and you can't discredit Tippett there either. Like, I think he really brought a system
a
in that he's getting
fans
to buy into.
I'm a huge fan of Tippett. I love him. I wish Calgary.
I think he's a great coach.
I wish Calgary.
He's one of the best coaches the Oilers have had, I mean, since the good years of Craig McTavish.
As soon as you guys hired him, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was. I knew that good things would come because he just finds a way to get the best out of their players. Does it – hey, Alec, now you got McDavid and Draisaitl this year that are – taking up $21 million in your cap.
But I could also make a legitimate argument that those are the two best players in hockey right now.
You're totally right. But does it scare you that it's hard to replicate that year after year after year for both guys? Yeah. We're seeing that in Calgary this year, big time.
Yeah.
How bad is the fallback next year?
Well, I mean, the optimist in me says there won't be a fallback.
But and there might not be. There might not be.
And I mean, I think when you look at, like, honestly,
I think
I'm not saying Draisaitl will be legitimately the second best player in the world next year, but I think that guy, like, you look at, he's young too. Like, he's young as hell. He's 24 years old, I think. And it's like, you've got to believe.
So do you think McDavid's
that guy's a top 10 player in the NHL minimum, assuming he stays healthy?
I think like, he's top
like
five.
For years and years. No, but like, I'm talking minimum. Worst case scenario, like, he takes a step back or doesn't continue to get better. Yeah. He's still a top 10 guy.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor is Connor. Like, yep. I don't even have to say any more there. So honestly, I don't think the fallback from those guys, I'm not even slightly worried about that.
Okay.
And I think the other thing why I'd go against a fallback, I think one, the people building the roster and coaching the roster are so much more competent than we've had in so many years.
Yeah.
And I think we still have such a young team that you might see individual players take a step back. And we're even seeing that this year. Like, there's been guys that have taken a step back. Mm-hmm. And Jujhar Kerr is a prime example.
He has not been good this
year. Not that
he was
a game breaker, but he has just not been good. And it's frustrating, but we're so young.
You know what, though?
I think you're going to see more players taking a step forward than players that are taking a step back.
Is he playing the same, though, and he's just not? Like, there, you have so many better players this year that just, do you know what I mean?
I think he's kind of been pushed to be a center in his upbringing through the Oilers the last like 3 years, 4 years.
I don't see him.
And this year they started him at a winger. And he's actually so not producing a ton, but they actually started playing him the last 2-3 weeks before the season suspended at fourth line center. And he's actually looked great. And I know you guys will be stoked to hear this, as James Neal was our fourth line left winger. And Alex Chiasson, who he didn't give a ton of money, I think it was 2 years by 2.1 last summer, he's our fourth line right winger. So some vets sliding back. But it actually looked like a really good fourth line.
So let me ask you this. James Neal's one goal away from the sending Calgary a draft pick.
Two.
Is it two?
It's 21, yeah.
Is it two?
Yes.
Okay. I was hoping they'd count the one of the night when he scored on Smith, but it's not going to work. But they don't.
Shut up, Brad.
They don't. I mean, there's really no way that we see regular season hockey this year. I don't think. I'd be shocked if they came out and said we're going to see a month and a half of regular season hockey and then we're going to see playoffs. I'd laugh my ass off. So I don't think there's going to be.
It would take a miracle.
It would take more than a miracle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Calgary's going to get screwed out of that draft pick, which, it's almost inevitable that he would have been able to score two goals, right?
Well, he had slowed down a lot.
He had went down.
Games out. Oh, well, he's just not getting as much play. Like, I don't think he scored in
forever. Like, he hadn't scored this whole calendar year. He hadn't scored since January 1st.
So do you think with 13 games left, he was going to get two goals?
I think so. I hope so.
I was kind of thinking he wasn't. Like, I was already, we were talking about before the season got suspended, that it was like, shit, we might not have to give Calgary our third round pick. Now that it's been suspended.
Well, I think Calgary would have probably tried to bank one off him.
Just like,
that last
you
game,
imagine?
Does he have the defenseman?
GM calls down like, hey.
Tell Brody to fire one right off of Neal into the net.
Or just let him let in muffins against him. Because it's not like Neil's going to not score because of that, or like not shoot because of that, right?
Neal
like,
gets a shot.
Players don't think that way.
Talbot,
they're not going to say, oh, I don't want that condition to kick in.
Talbot just steps to the side right in the middle of the net. Thanks for the draft pick.
Tippett benches Neal on for his second goal.
He probably would. He'd healthy scratch him the last day of the year. They probably would say they're resting him for the playoffs.
Maintenance or something.
Resting him for the playoffs.
Yeah. I just realized, Brad, I didn't really finish my point of the mid-November.
I'm sorry.
So here's my, no, it wasn't you. I think I honestly sidetracked myself. So let's say they award the Stanley Cup November 20th.
Okay.
Let's say, like you said, you push the draft to next year, so it's 18 and 19 year olds and older. which would be that would in itself, I'm already sidetracking myself. Think of the tanking for that draft. Like, it would be nuts. It'd be stupid. But anyways, so you have till January 1st to start training camps.
Yeah.
So that's a month and a half, little under a month and a half for free agency and off-season training, which isn't a lot, but you'd obviously have to push back, like, when do RFAs not be able to play after? There'd have to be a lot of on-the-fly league emergency meetings to set it up. But if they made that their priority, I think you could make it work. Because I think at the end of the day, and here's my thing, and this is what I said to Kyle. It's just so sad to me that if you cancel the season, that's 69 or 70 games, depending on the teams, that were for nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all. Yeah. The guys that got injured, tough luck. Maybe that derails your career. We didn't even award the Stanley Cup that year. Like, that's just such a gross, disgusting thought to me.
It may happen.
But that's as the fan perspective. I know the owners and the league are going to say, we want to play 82 games next year if we can, or 70, or however many we can, and they're going to prioritize that.
Wait a second, though. That's a fan's perspective that has a team that's going to make the playoffs.
For sure, and I'm biased. I fully admit it. Kyle and I said this too. If we were dead last in the league like we were so many years that year, we'd be saying, screw this season. Let's just do the lottery. We'll take Lafreniere. Like, let's do it. Like, but, for sure, I'm biased.
But I'm going to throw one out there as a Calgary guy who's in a playoff spot right now. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep at night if we lose the season. And I want to see the Stanley Cup awarded, and this is probably the year Calgary would freaking make a run because everything's been so bad. Well, that's
the
thing,
I feel like it's so tight in the West right now that, like, the only teams I'm legitimately worried about is Vegas, Colorado, and St. Louis, and anything can happen.
I know you're not worried about Calgary at all. I saw your tweets, John.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not. I think we win that series for sure.
I was so gonna chirp you back, but I held back. I just thought. I saw him.
Oh,
as sorry, a Calgary fan, if they totally said we're done, I'd look at the year and go, all right, Vallamaki got hurt before the camp started. Brody had a serious seizure. Our coach got fired. Hammonick went down. You're now. I'm good with this. Just calling this good.
You're good with just saying.
I'm good with it. Pretending happened.
Not only that, but think of the guys that regressed.
Yeah.
Like, statistically so much. Like, Johnny Hockey had a rough year.
Oh.
Monahan had a rough year. Like, other than Kachuk.
Lindholm.
Other breakout guys?
Lindholm had a great year.
Riddick.
Riddick's been awful lately. No, Riddick didn't.
Yeah. Sorry. Cam Talbot had kind of been, not your guy, but had been the better goalie.
Yeah. Riddick's been struggling since All-Star game. Or if you're an Edmonton fan, the stick flip.
I was just going to say.
I'll get that out of the way since I knew you were going to take a shot there.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
Nothing like beating people to the shot there.
Yeah, I know. I'm pissed now.
You know, I think, I don't know. I think this is here's the bad part for the Calgary perspective. What this year was for the Flames was twofold. We were going to really see what our core was made out of in the regular season and the postseason.
For sure.
Now we still don't know because the core had a crappy regular season and we don't know the postseason. So do we go off of that and say, well, we need to change the core and change a Gaudreau and a Monahan out? I don't know. So we didn't learn anything there. This was the year we were going to see if Riddick was going to be our starter. And we thought that all up until All-Star game that all systems were go there. Now we don't feel that, so we really didn't learn anything there either. So this was really a total disaster for the Flames.
So I understand that, but I think you're covering something up.
What do you mean?
If you write this year off and just play a full year next year,
yeah.
Milan Lucic has one less year on his contract.
Good point.
And that's why you want this year to cancel.
Good point.
But I will
We're
say
still
one
paying
thing.
Him.
I will say the one thing. You guys also don't know what playoff Lucic is going to be like. I don't know that either. Facetious here.
But
I genuinely think Lucic has the potential to have more of an impact in the playoffs than Neil does.
Can I give you? Oh, I agree with you. But you know what? I'm going to give you one thing on Lucic. And I am not a Lucic fan. I flipped when I saw the trade. I prayed it was fake news. It wasn't. Lucic has been way more of an impact, especially in the second part of this season, than Neil was at all last year. Lucic has been fine the last three, four weeks. I haven't just liked his game, to be honest with you. I had seen,
I'm trying to remember what game it was, Brad.
I remember watching
a Flames game probably about a week or two before, and Lucic genuinely looked like one of your better players.
Yeah.
And the thing with him is...
I don't know what that's saying for other guys.
I'm kind of sick that I'm defending him, but I also felt bad for the way... Not Lucic, like, he deserved the criticism in Edmonton, but I felt bad in the sense that it wasn't that he was nonchalant about it. Like, you knew that guy was hurting and unhappy with the way he was playing and was trying to change it. But the thing is, he's not a guy that can go balls to the wall for 82 games.
No.
And then a playoff run.
And that's why, you know what,
he's an energy guy that you get engaged. And I mean, I'll criticize him because it's at times, because at the end of the day, he's a Flame and I'm going to take my shot when I have it. But I will defend him too, where I think when he's on and he's invested and he has that, he picks that spot to go balls to the wall, I think he can be an effective player still.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I will say the only thing I wish they would have done differently this year, I wish they would have sat him every once in a while so that he
just could. Just for kind of management?
Yep. We don't need that physical presence in every single game. We don't.
Yeah. And you've got some guys that are physical in their own right as well.
Yeah.
Just like we do too. Like,
so I think
it's not just Lucci.
You know, you don't need to play him every single game. And I honestly believe since when he came out in the press here, he was having a real tough stretch. And he came out in the press, I want to say it was in January, and said that he had actually contemplated quitting.
Yeah,
since then,
I had seen that. Was that actually, did he talk about that on his Hockey Night in Canada after hours?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I think it was January.
Yeah.
I've lost track of time.
January or February, somewhere in there.
You know, since then, he's been a pretty good player, honestly. You know, sometimes clearing the air and getting honest with yourself and getting honest with your fans can reset players. But I hope that we have hockey. I hope we finish it. I'm worried that we won't. If I had to put money in Vegas on it, that we probably won't get to see a Stanley Cup hoisted this year. I pray that I'm wrong. I would love a Battle of Alberta. It would be so fun. It would be so fun. But
I think with the way the standings were looking, my prediction was that the Flames are going to screw it up again anyways, and we weren't going to get a Battle of Alberta. So.
I hope you're right. I actually, like, somebody, you know, everybody asked me, well, do you want a Battle of Alberta? And I'm like, well, yeah, I want it if we're going to win. I don't want it if we lose. But I guess you can't have both.
I've heard a lot of Oilers fans saying they don't want it just because the risk of losing and how bad that would be isn't worth the positive of winning.
But if I had to say, and we can kind of wrap on this, if I had to say, do you want Vegas in the first round or Calgary in the first round, who do you want?
Calgary, for sure.
Me too. Do you want Vancouver or do you want Calgary?
Vancouver.
Do you?
Assuming Calgary wins their round.
See, I want Vancouver.
Because I want
Vancouver too, because I think we can abuse them.
I think so too, and I think I've said this right from the get-go, and we talked about this, so we can give a shout-out to this. Our Patreon Pacific Roundtable we did a while back.
Yeah.
Check out the Patreon on the Hockey Podcast Network. But I said it then. I said it at the start of the year. It's impressive what they're doing. This was a big growth year for them, but they don't scare me in any way. The only thing that
they did for a couple weeks
is if Markstrom steals a series.
I know.
But if he doesn't absolutely steal a series, I'm confident Calgary or Edmonton wins that.
Well, we don't have this virus, Vancouver doesn't make the playoffs.
Are they in?
They're not in the playoffs right now. They're not even in the playoffs.
Didn't they pass you guys for third, I thought?
Because
I thought the Oilers would play Vancouver.
They're outside of a wild card spot right now. Calgary's in third.
Okay.
So they're out of it right now. But the way they were trending was not good. Markstrom was hurt. I mean,
they had been struggling for weeks.
They had issues. Now, if we come back and play again, they're all going to be healthy, and that sucks.
True. I have a tough time with Vancouver because I'm not going to lie. I just really dislike a majority of their fans. It's not even like Flames fans. I have issues with some, but it's more your team and like the on ice that I hate. Vancouver, I actually genuinely like a lot of their players.
Like, I do too. Like I love Brock Besser.
Me too. Besser's wicked. Bo Horvat is one of my, I'm not going to say favorite players in the NHL, but if I had to name my 100 favorite players in the NHL, Horvat's in there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Peterson. Pettersson, however, I always get that wrong.
I know, I'm not a,
honestly, I like Markstrom too.
So do I.
Like right through, and I'm like, I like Tyler Myers in Winnipeg before he went over there, and I'm like, God, as roster wise, I actually kind of like them.
I know, but I
hate their fan base enough that I want their team to lose every single
too.
Game.
Like, me too.
It's one of those things.
Well, at least we agree on that, and yeah, I don't know.
On a positive.
Well, thanks for joining me, John. It's always fun to talk Flames and Oilers, and not so fun to talk about the scary situations we have going on in the world, but hopefully we could pull fans away from those thoughts for a few minutes and enjoy a little bit of hockey talk. And as the summer goes, or if we get back to hockey, which would be wonderful, I'd like to have you back on the show. And always a good time talking with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Thank you very much for having me. Absolute blast talking to you as always.
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, Flames fans, let's roll through some Flames news as it happened here over the last 4 days. The Flames Foundation put $1.15 million towards COVID-19 relief. The Flames Foundation always doing good things in the city of Calgary. Two big signings for the Flames fans. And man, when these signings came out, it was so nice to have actual hockey talk to think and talk about. Both defensemen, Connor Mackey from the WCHA, which is part of the NCAA Division I College Hockey in America, from Minnesota State Mankato. Connor Mackey signs at $925,000, a one-year deal for the 23-year-old left-hand shot defenseman. He has been playing in Mankato for 3 years now, puts up 12 his first season in 40 games, 25 points in 42 games his second year, and last year he put up 24 points in 36 games. A solid, well-rounded defenseman that at 23 years old has a potential to step into a spot in the near future. The second Flames player signed the same day, another defenseman signed out of the NCAA, NCHC, out of the University of North Dakota, a great, great hockey organization. Colton Poolman signs. He is a defenseman. He's 24 years old, also a left-hand shot from East Grand Forks, Minnesota, right on the border of Grand Forks, North Dakota, the home of the University of North Dakota. Poolman, 17 points this year in 31 games. A all-around solid defenseman, really well-rounded, more defensive-orientated. Connor Mackey's a little bit more offensive puck-moving than Colton Poolman is, but both are going to bring different aspects to the Flames that will definitely help them in the future, and I liked both of these signings. I thought that, can you get enough defensemen? Can you really get enough defensemen? Colton Poolman was really excited to go to Calgary, too. I know they've been talking to him and working with him since his days when he was in Penticton in the BCHL. Rolling on to the fan question for the episode, and usually I talk a lot of different things. I usually do a Facebook poll, get a question from a fan, which I didn't get this week just probably because of what's going on with the league and not playing. Or also use a lot of Calgary Flames Facebook groups, and there's a lot of really good ones out there. And this week, I kind of went on my own on this one, and I have a question this week. And it's something that all of the listeners I want to think about this week and think about what you would want answered. And I thought, if I could sit down with Gary Bettman today and ask him three questions, what would they be? And I think it's the first one is a question that all of us really, really want to know. And that is, what is the drop dead date for the 2019-2020 season? What date is the last day that if we don't have this coronavirus under control, means we scrap the season? I want to also talk to him and ask him, will there be financial help for teams that need it? I.e. maybe Arizona, Florida. I hate to pinpoint exact teams, but it's not a secret the teams that are struggling at the gate and have high salaries to pay out during this time, and want to know if there's a program set up to help organizations. My third question, is it critical that a regular season is completed, or is the NHL okay with going right to a playoff format? Those are the three questions that I would want to have Gary Bettman ask. I want you to think of what questions you would want him to answer. Tweet them to me, email them to me. We'll talk about this more in upcoming episodes on what we would, one of the struggles with this whole play suspended and dealing with the virus is, on a sports aspect, obviously, that's all we're talking right here, is the unknown. We don't know if the season's going to go. We don't know what's going to happen with that. And that's one of the things that has a lot of sports fans struggling. If we knew that on June 1st or July 1st we were going to get things back up and running, or if we knew that the season was scrapped and that we're going to focus on an October start for next season, we make plans. We can deal with that. But right now, there's really, with the world is, things change are changing with this every day. It's the unknown that is, it's really scary.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
This is the part of the show where you should do game previews, and we can't do that because there's nothing to preview right now. Flames Unfiltered is going to be going to one episode per week until the end of the suspended season, and we're going to narrow it down to do recording on Sunday nights for a Monday release on the Hockey Podcast Network and flamesunfiltered.com. In future episodes, like we did today, having a guest on, we plan on having a variety of different guests on talking hockey in a whole bunch of different realms. A lot of Flames talk, obviously, since we're Flames, but we'll dive into a bunch of different things to try to keep you entertained and to keep your mind off of reality now in these difficult times. Please, everybody, stay safe, stay home, be healthy, be happy, be thankful, enjoy your family time, and let's make sure that we all do our part to flatten the curve. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you again 1 week from now on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.